Here's a little snippet from online reviews of a podcast called The Babysitter's Club Club, in which a couple of boys, Tanner and Jack, analyze a very popular series of girly books from the 1980s. Hannah Pajama says,
"This podcast disrupts my college education with grievous consequences."
Rocky says,
"Finding this podcast was like God telling me that he loved me via iTunes."
Yet Ravenclaw114 dares to disagree.
"I truly find it fascinating how you can analyze books about 13-year-olds babysitting like you would Dickens, Shakespeare, or Hemingway. Even being a know-it-all myself, I find it difficult to buy all you are selling."
I'm Gina Kaufman. Today's show on KCUR's Central Standard is a year-in-review podcast show, and we'll begin by letting you hear a little bit of The Babysitter's Club Club for yourself. This is from the episode on Marianne and Too Many Boys.
"I will begin, unless you have any objections, sir."
"None stated."
"Now. Long before Logan strutted confidently into Marianne's life and swept her off her feet, there was Alex. Quiet, sensitive Alex, who laughed at her jokes, held her when she was sad, and lodged himself forever in her heart like an arrow. But that was long ago, and now there's Logan, handsome and powerful, cruel sometimes, but so bewitching, so enthralling. And he truly makes her happy. At least, that's what Marianne tells herself, until she takes a trip to the beach and runs into Alex again, stirring up feelings she thought she'd buried deep in her past, and forcing her to make the hardest decision she's ever had to make. Long before Logan, there was Alex. But Alex never really went away. Marianne.
It's pretty good. You only mentioned one of the many boys.
It's too many for Marianne. She literally can't handle it and bursts into tears throughout the entirety of this novel.
Many times. Many,
yeah.
Well, we have two audio files with us to review podcast this morning. And what we just heard was the beginning of a recent episode of the Babysitter's Club Club, one of the new podcasts of 2016 being recommended by Brianna O'Higgins. She's the digital overlord here at KCUR.
The official title.
Hi, Brianna.
Hi, good morning. So the Babysitter's Club Club. Did you read these books, Gina?
I didn't. And you know what? I mean, I remember what they look like. I was not above reading this kind of book. I read the Sweet Valley books, but somehow I managed to miss these.
Well, so I did read these books. I was actually a little young for them, but I started with Anne M. Martin, who Tanner and Jack sort of idolize in these podcasts. They call her Princess Anne M. Martin and various other titles that she gains along each
episode.
She's
the author?
She's the author of the series, right? So she also did one, I think, after the Babysitter's Club Club that was like a little... Excuse me, that's the podcast name. After the Babysitter's Club, about their little sister. So I came into those books. Those were more sort of my age, and then transitioned over to what was then sort of an older series when I became of age to read them.
The classics.
Yeah. So I actually was just like in iTunes, and I was looking at a new and noteworthy, I think it was, section, just like scrolling. And I saw this podcast, The Babysitter's Club Club. And it was like their logo is like drawn with color pencil, like not professional. And I was just like, wow, how did this end up in New and Noteworthy? And I also had the connection to the Babysitter's Club Club. So I listened and I'm still listening. They're on episode 40. They're still... Oh gosh, at least 60, maybe 75 books left to go. So
I understand that these two guys do some funny, like, repartee about the books, but also some kind of heady analysis. Has there been any analysis that made you laugh, but you ended up thinking about in kind of a serious way?
Yeah, so there's, you know, the Babysitter's Club deals with real issues, and in the setup, we heard that they're 13-year-olds, that they're a little older than that, so that commenter, like, maybe is not familiar, but anyway. So they're dealing with things like parents and divorce and two households and boys, obviously. So, you know, they get into the analysis a little bit about how Anne M. Martin, the author, deals with presenting these real life issues to an audience that is, you know, teens coming of age kind of stuff. And because they're reading them in succession, they sort of see threads that go through them that, as a young reader, I definitely was not picking up on. It's quite interesting. And as a person who's read the books, I actually think that these two guys are sort of charismatic enough and creative enough and funny enough to bring along somebody who hasn't read the series at all.
So that's the Babysitter's Club, hosted unexpectedly by two guys, recommended by KCUR's Brianna O'Higgins. And now I'd like to introduce the other audiophile who will be joining us this morning. Lauren Ober hosts The Big Listen at WAMU in Washington, D.C. It's a show all about podcasts. Hi, Lauren.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Pretty good.
You host a show about podcasts, and I'm hosting a show where you talk about hosting a show about podcasts. I feel like we're like little nesting dolls where you open one up and there's another one inside.
It's true. It's true. I can't even wrap my brain around that. I lost you at the I'm hosting a show about podcasts.
If you were to step back from individual shows and just look at 2016, what did 2016 sound like in the podcast universe?
Oh my gosh, it sounded loud. There was so much that came on board in 2016. It was really sort of a spoiler riches. That's probably not the term, but there were so many. I mean, iTunes, I don't know how the folks there, aren't working 15-hour days, because people are uploading podcasts all the time. Maybe they are. I don't know. But I think that the quality is getting better, and you're seeing a lot of media companies. The New York Times jumped in a big way this year with a number of podcasts. And so kind of any print publication now has to add podcasts to their mix. So it's really growing, and it's a very legitimate medium now.
Okay, well, we've got a nice mix of shows today that some of them explore sort of newsy topical issues, and we've also got more lighthearted or personal fare. So for now, let's stick with the lighter stuff, and we'll move on to the harder-hitting podcasts later on. Lauren Ober, tell us about Sleepover. That's a podcast from CBC, Canada's NPR equivalent.
It's true. Okay, so Sleepover is what I would deem to be the first experiment in reality radio. So the host, Sukyan Lee, she is a longtime host with CBC. She's hosted a number of shows for them. And she wanted to bring together three strangers and have them sleep over in a hotel room with her. And each one brings a problem that they want to solve or that they want to get some help talking about. And the strangers are from all walks of life. There's age diversity, there's racial diversity, there's all kinds of interesting little bits about these people. And they're people who would never come in contact with each other ever. And they come and they sleep over with Sukyan Lee. Everyone gets their own bed. And just gab about life and the human experience. And it's really beautiful.
You've brought in a clip. Anything you need to say to set it up for us, or should we just listen?
I would say that if you have a child, you know that they say amazing things and they help in amazing ways and ways that are very surprising. So I think that's probably what I would say.
Okay, let's give this a listen. A clip from Sleepover.
When was the last time you wore that necklace?
A couple of weeks ago, to church.
Okay, it wasn't a date though. It wasn't for romance.
No, for praying about it.
Oh, you were praying for romance? Did you pray for romance?
Yes, I did.
Yes, absolutely.
I prayed to God darn hard.
So, Lauren, explain.
I set that clip up. I set it up wrong for you guys. But you know what? I'm going to make it right for you. So Judy is one of the guests in the sleepover. And Judy is a senior who is disabled who wants a date. She wants a guy to wine and dine her. And she hasn't had that in a while. And in this clip, she's talking about this necklace that she bought that was basically, her sort of talisman that, you know, if she bought this, you know, Mr. Wright would come along. And, you know, and they go on to sort of unpack her challenges with finding a relationship.
So that's a podcast sleepover that involves strangers sleeping over together in separate beds in a hotel room, talking out their problems. And Lauren Ober is telling us that it's really beautiful. Lauren, you're also recommending a podcast called Making Oprah.
Oh, I can't recommend this enough. Like, I have not stopped talking about this. My friends are bored of it now. They're like, yes, we get it. Making Oprah. It's a great show. So this is a documentary podcast from our friends in Chicago at WBEZ. And it is an examination of the Oprah Winfrey Show, because 30 years ago this month, the Oprah Winfrey Show became a national entity. And it really just delves into the nitty-gritty of the show and how it became this worldwide phenomenon. And I wasn't a huge like Oprah watcher back in the day, but I knew enough to, you know, it sort of piqued my interest. But
yeah,
the reporting is so spectacular in this, and they talk to so many people. It's just like the best of public radio and podcasting together.
Well, let's hear a clip. This is from Making Oprah.
First of all, I didn't leave the building until like 10:30, 11, because I remember walking through, seeing them doing the bows for the cars, and the bows were too small, in my opinion. So I said, this bow is too small. They're like, but we've already done however many bows. I go, you got to redo the bows, because the bow should cover the whole hood of the car. It should not be like a little bow. You want the bow to wrap around the body of the car, and you want the bow to cover the whole hood of the car so that it makes an impression, because so much of a gift is about how it's packaged.
I love having the curtain pulled back on the whole gifting of brand new cars on Oprah. What
right,
I love
and
is
that was a,
she,
oh, I'm so
she,
sorry.
You can tell she really cares about this weird thing that happens on her show. The brand new
car. It's all
car.
About the details. It's all about the details for Oprah, and she can afford to request bigger bows. But this was a landmark moment in American television when Oprah gave away 276 Pontiacs, which is crazy.
That's a lot of Pontiacs.
That's a lot of Pontiacs. It's true.
Well, let's hear one more recommendation. That was Making Oprah. Let's hear from Brianna O'Higgins. We'll listen to this, a little bit of this podcast first, and then Brianna is going to tell us what it's about.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Is this Chris?
Yeah. Yeah. How's it going?
So awesome.
Good.
Can I start off by saying that I have like a crush on you? Is that weird?
Wow. I don't know if my wife's going to love that, but I'm flattered.
Oh, well, that was like past tense. I had a crush on you.
Wait, you had a crush on me?
Yeah, it's over, though.
What was the timeline? What was the timeline of this crush?
Well, I started listening to your podcast, and you're just so funny, and I think that's like so attractive.
And what did
I love witty.
What did I do to ruin it? What did I do to turn you off so bad?
You didn't. You didn't do anything. Nothing personal. Just, you know, you always talk about your wife and how awesome she is. And I thought, oh, gosh, this is gross. I can't have a crush on him.
Wow. Well, I'm very flattered. And and thank you so much for that. I'm bashful. I'm red in. If you could see me, you'd know I'm red in the face.
Brianna, what is the deal with this podcast, Beautiful Anonymous?
So that's comedian Chris Gethard, and I was not familiar with his work prior to this, but I guess he's semi-well-known. And his premise is the full name is Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People, and he tweets out a phone number, and people call in, and he talks to them for an hour. The agreement is that he will stay on the line for exactly an hour. And on occasion, the caller has hung up
before that or had to go before that. It's actually kind of long for a podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it enjoyable to listen to an hour-long phone conversation?
Well, so, you know, I don't know what his ratio to calls to actual episodes is. I imagine, there's quite a few callers that don't make it to the podcast. So the ones that we do get to hear are pretty darn engaging. Really interesting stories from all walks of life. That's part of what it is. Just the normal people are sometimes the most exciting.
Beautiful Anonymous is Brianna O'Higgins' recommendation. KCUR Central Standard has to take a short break. When we return, some more issue-driven podcasts from the audio files. Brianna O'Higgins of KCUR and Lauren Ober with the show, The Big Show, The Big Listen, excuse me, from WAMU and NPR. I'm Gina Kaufman. Back in a minute. Welcome back to KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman here with the audio files. Those are our podcast critics. We've got Brianna O'Higgins and Lauren Ober with us. And we're going to listen to more of the best podcasts of 2016, according to them. Brianna, tell me about More Perfect and why you love it.
So More Perfect is from the team or part Well, it's some new people, too. Jad Abumrad from Radiolab, doing what, you know, he did for Radiolab best, which is taking these complex sort of things for Radiolab, usually science and stuff, and making it not only super exciting and interesting to listen to, but easy to digest and understandable. So More Perfect is his take on the Supreme Court, it's just really awesome and something I would not want to read, say, like, you know, a nonfiction
textbook.
Textbook that just becomes so alive in a podcast.
Well, let's listen to some of an episode on the sort of scrappy history of the court. This episode came amid all the controversy, the still unresolved controversy, about there being an even number of justices on the Supreme Court in the wake of Scalia's death. Turns out the court only had 6 justices in its inception and nobody cared. Here's why.
At the time, they weren't deciding big cases. They weren't deciding, like, affirmative action, Roe v. Wade, nothing like that. They were handling, like, these little tiny rinky-dink cases. And most of their time was spent literally riding in carriages from town to town.
Trying cases around the country, and that's a big hassle. They don't even get to sleep in their own beds.
Wait, why are they riding around?
Well, so they actually each had a separate geographical zone that they're in charge of, and that's actually still true today. But unlike today, where people, you know, come to the Supreme Court, back then...
People weren't coming to them. Why would I do that?
That's Ellie Mistal, our legal editor.
Why would I go seek out these guys someplace else to hear my local issue in South Carolina? If they have something to say about it, they can come to South Carolina, sit on my farm, and talk to me. Got to think about the country in 1800 and 1804. This is a states' rights, states-centric country.
All of which is to say that being a Supreme Court justice at the time...
It's not a great gig.
It's rough. Consequently, the people who chose to do this, well... They're kind of misfits.
Yeah, totally. And who are, like, really smart, but, like, a motley crew that isn't... organized.
That's Ari Savitsky. He's a lawyer, constitutional history enthusiast. He says at the time on the court, you had this one guy nicknamed Old Bacon Face.
Who is like a maniac. He's like the kind of like Charlie Sheen, Wild Thing and Major League type character.
Very hot tempered, had a foul mouth.
There's another one who, you know, is like 4'5" and like really silent. The Supreme Court was like a pretty ragtag bunch.
All of this happens, and I think it's important for people to understand, all of this happens in part because the Constitution is embarrassingly silent on what the Supreme Court is, what it should do, how it should be constituted. Article 3 says, Article 3 of our United States Constitution says, there shall be a Supreme Court. Thanks, guys.
So that's from the podcast More Perfect, a Radiolab spinoff about the Supreme Court. Brianna, anything you want to add before we move on to the next podcast?
Just one thing. That's one of my favorite episodes. And it's called Kittens Kick the Giggly Blue Robot All Summer, which when I first started listening, I was like, why the heck is it called this? And I'll just say at the end, you find out and it's mnemonic and helpful and awesome.
Okay. Well, I'm going to turn now to Lauren Ober. Lauren, tell me about Candidate Confession.
So Candidate Confessional from Huffington Post is this really great podcast all about political losers. So they find folks who have run for political office and lost and talk to them about what it's like to basically be a loser. But each one of them has sort of a different sort of underpinning thread. And there's an episode that I particularly liked that was about Michelle Bachmann. If you remember, she ran for president some years ago. She was a representative from Minnesota, and she was running for the Republican ticket, and she was hammered on the campaign trail. And in this episode,
hammered as in by the opposition, not drinking.
Yeah,
it up or
she
something.
Was. No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. She was not intoxicated. She was just treated terribly by the opposition, by the media. She was not taken seriously as a candidate by many people. And she talks about the sexism on the campaign trail, which is something that we don't hear about a lot because I think female candidates aren't allowed to talk about that because, because then it makes them look weak or they're complaining or something. But the guys,
sort of a vicious cycle.
Yeah, exactly. So the guys on Candidate Confessional are two reporters, and they treat her very, very fairly in this episode. And I learned a lot, and I felt, you know, warmer feelings for Michelle Bachmann than I perhaps had before.
Let's hear her making her confession in the confessional.
And he said, well, I have to have the test shot. So then the photographer hit a strobe light, mm-hmm, and snapped with a strobe light so that my eyes flared open,
yeah,
as they would in response to a huge bright strobe light. And I said, what was that about? He said, it's just the test shot. Don't worry. It's nothing. I said, you're not going to use that, are you? And he said, oh, no. This is just something I have to give to my editor. Well, then, as it turned out, none of these lovely shots were used. The only thing they did is the one where I look like the Bride of Frankenstein with my eyes wide open, and that was on the cover.
So, yeah, that is a very different sounding Michelle Bachmann. I mean, in a way, does hearing from politicians after they're not running for office anymore make you wish you had known that version of them before?
Yeah, I mean, I think Al Gore is the perfect example of that, right? That when he let his hair down, when he grew a beard and he became chill, you know, people were like, oh, right, you're not like stiff and weird and, and unelectable or whatever.
Turns out you know a lot of stuff also.
He was, right. And we hear from, you know, this podcast features Howard Dean and Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney's, an aide from Mitt Romney and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, I think this humanizes candidates. I mean, you know, too little, too late, right?
Yeah. Candidate Confessional is the name of that podcast. Now we've got kind of an extended excerpt to play from a podcast called Embedded. Brianna, what's the quick and dirty premise of Embedded?
Embedded, hosted by many people will be familiar with the name Kelly McEvers, who's on ATC, who has reported from all kinds of areas of conflict. So this is her podcast, a podcast from NPR, and she basically takes a news story and goes in depth on it, you know, instead of the 4 minutes we're used to hearing, you know, maybe on Morning Edition or All Things Considered, there's a podcast and she goes, you know, 20, 40 minutes into these stories that we just hear the surface of.
In an episode from Embedded back in May, Kelly McEvers is sitting in a hospital in South Sudan waiting to hear about a very young patient who is malnourished to the point of being unresponsive.
It's going to be hard to not sit here all day. This baby was definitely going to die when she was putting in the IV. Basically, when she was shoving a needle into this girl's leg bone, and the girl didn't react. I just can't seem to leave. So I sit there for about half an hour, and then this happens. Oh, she's opening her eyes.
Oh!
The nurse says the baby is awake and asking for water, like with words, because it turns out she's not a baby.
She's 3 years.
She's 3 years old. She's just so small. She only weighs 15 pounds that this whole time I and a certified medical professional both thought
She was a baby, which means her situation is probably even worse than I thought. But right now, she is drinking water and she is crying, and that is good.
All right. Complaining? This is good.
The next day is a Sunday. Yiska hasn't had a day off in a long time. She goes for a run, goes to the back of the compound and sings. She's in an a cappella group back home. She Skypes with her friends. Her being off means Dr. Nav is the one who's on duty. I meet up with him in the intensive feeding ward.
Yeah, if you feel her feet, they're like ice cold, huh? It's bad. Again, she just like really shut down peripherally.
Nav says it is not looking good.
Yeah, she's still, I mean, the one good thing, she's got some strength in her. She'll still kind of respond a little bit. If you, you know, she'll kind of look at you, you kind of get her attention. Earlier, she was sitting up a little bit with mom, but still very, very drowsy.
Yeah, she looks worse.
Yeah, she even throughout the day, she's gotten a little worse than she was this morning. So it's, yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah.
A few hours later, someone comes to tell me. An emergency has been called in the girl's ward.
Dr. Nav got called to resuscitate the girl. And now I'm standing at the hospital door.
Nav walks by and just nods his head.
She died. So I'm standing here at the entrance to the hospital. Because we don't want to, you know, bum rush them during this moment. But it happened. She died. It's Sunday afternoon. I mean, it's not been looking good for a couple days, right? But it finally happened.
Brianna, that is the saddest clip in the world.
Yeah, I mean, we really hear, that's, you know, Kelly McEvers, this NPR reporter who's reported from war zones, and we hear her cry as she reports this story. And that's something we don't get, like I said, from the four-minute clips, and we can almost pretend just doesn't happen. You know,
yeah, we cry off mic.
Right, and we get to see that part of it, and also just go really in-depth on that story and many others that she does in the first season of Embedded.
So that was from Embedded, a podcast hosted by Kelly McEvers, who you probably recognize if you listen to this station. She's a prominent voice on NPR. I want to touch quickly on a couple of podcasts that we aren't going to play clips from, but just because you guys have recommended them so enthusiastically, I just want to hear a short review and let our listeners know about them. Lauren, talk to me about Historically Black.
Historically Black is a sort of one-off podcast from American Public Media and the Washington Post. They made it to celebrate the opening of the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture, which opened earlier this year on the National Mall. It was a huge celebration. It's an amazing museum. And part of the great thing about the museum is that they sort of crowdsourced artifacts from everyday African American families that would tell the story of the Black experience in America. And so so then the podcast sort of did the same thing, and they called they put a call out to their to readers of the Post and said, hey, do you have an artifact? Do you have a keepsake that is special to you? If so, let us know what it is. And they picked a few of them and they told stories about them. And one that sort of touched me was a family tracked down their ancestors' slave bill of sale in a courthouse in Tennessee. It was really remarkable.
So that's Historically Black. Thanks for that recommendation, Lauren. And Brianna, tell us about the Mental Illness Happy Hour. That sounds not like a fun kind of happy hour.
It's not really a fun happy hour. It's a really intense show, actually. And you guys let me throw this in, even though it's been in production since 2011. Another comedian doing, you know, not really funny podcast work here.
And but something did happen with this podcast this year. Like, didn't it sort of magically become a highly listened to podcast, even though it had been around for a while?
Yeah, it hit the top charts in iTunes, for example, in 2016. Has sat there for a while, I think now. He has pretty semi-famous people on. NPR listeners might know Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. He was on, and Adam Carolla was on. Lots of other comedians talking about sometimes mental illness that they struggle with, or just emotional issues or trauma that they've experienced as kids. And this is another long one, usually an hour or more sometimes. But does some work at sort of like breaking down stigma around mental illness and humanizes it to a certain extent.
Isn't there a part of it that's something like struggle in a sentence, or people just ordinary people trying to encapsulate what they deal with mental illness in one sentence?
Yeah, and he also like reads these surveys that are available through his website, which is mentalpod.com, that people fill out, and that's maybe the most intense stuff at the end of the show sometimes, just everyday listeners who appreciate his work and then also share some of their experiences.
Yeah. So that's Mental Illness Happy Hour. And finally, getting back to something a little less issue-driven and generally speaking pretty fun, although the clip we have is kind of a tearjerker. YOY is by a familiar voice here at KCUR, Andrea Salenzi. She used to produce Central Standard back before we relaunched the show. Let's hear a clip, and then Lauren will talk to us about it. Here is YOY.
I went into the next room to try to find a new apartment. I emailed a broker, seeking a dog-friendly room to cry in. Crossed out room to cry in. Wrote in studio. You came into the study to check on me and finally noticed your fly. You said, has it been this way the whole time? We were both too sad to laugh. A rash spread around my neck. The movers came. I hugged you in the morning, your body suddenly stiff like an ironing board. I still keep a list on my phone of all the stuff I want to tell you about.
Lauren Ober, tell us why. Oh, why?
I'm sorry. I had something in my eye. Sorry.
Why? Oh, why is Andrea Salenzi of YOY crying?
No, I mean, look, she went through a rough breakup, and I think that she wanted to use the podcast as a way to sort of unpack that. Most of her episodes are not about her; they're about other people and their sort of dating and relationship issues. But here she sort of interrogates herself. Her writing is beautiful, but that music is so manipulative. I swear, I'm like, it's the music drives it, and I'm like, I just feel for you. I want to give you a hug, Andrea. Everything is going to be fine. But I think it's really relatable, because most of us have been in relationships that have ended, and we know how terrible that is, and all of the tiny things.
The stiff hug is really evocative.
Yeah. Yeah, looking for a new, like, you have to look for a new apartment, you know, and it's so sad, but it's what we all go through, most of us, I think. I kind of wish that she put, like, polka music underneath there, so it'd be, or something like, with some oomph that would be a little more, like less sad, that would make me like not tear up, But
I think she was hoping you might tear up.
I mean, I know. And it's okay. But I think that we don't get to hear things like that so often. And that's, I think, what makes her podcast really beautiful, is that that it is very unique, and it doesn't sound like other things that that are in the offering.
So this is a podcast that had a previous kind of incarnation, and this is new. I mean, can you talk to us a little bit about what makes this podcast a 2016 selection?
So it was a reboot, right? Before, it was on a community radio station, and it was sort of a little rough and rowdy, I think. And I think it's much more polished now. I think Andrea has she's a couple of years older since she first started. She has a little more perspective. She's gone through some more things. And I think she's willing to take more risks. And I think for me, it does feel like a new show with some elements that she retained from the previous iteration.
Well, I have a little surprise for you, Lauren. Andrea has been listening, and you know how you wanted to give her a hug?
Oh, can I give Lauren. Her an audio hug? Oh, hi, Andrea. How are you doing?
I feel like I just came out from behind the curtain on a daytime talk show.
Well, and we're going to put you back behind the curtain. Andrea Lindsay's going to join us to talk about her commended podcast, YOY, after the break. Lauren Ober, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And Brianna O'Higgins, this has been fun.
It's been fun.
KCUR Central Standard will be right back with Andrea Salenzi. Stay tuned. We are back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard. We just got reviews of what our audiophiles are calling the best podcasts of 2016. Among them, YOY by Andrea Salenzi, who is with us now. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Gina. What a treat to spend a Thursday morning listening to one of my favorite shows, Central Standard.
Oh, man.
Sounding so good.
This is so meta right now because Andrea, of course, was the producer of the original incarnation of Central Standard, and she's gone on to do some awesome stuff, as we've been hearing. Andrea, for people who haven't heard YOY, what is the premise of your show?
I say it's a show about where love and sex meets technology, but it's obviously that, more complicated
they
than that.
A lot, though, right? Actually.
Yeah. And I think that that is actually a Trojan horse as a way to talk about what goes on in the lives of women in their 20s and 30s. I feel like there's something broken about dating today, and this is a way to talk about it.
So you just heard Lauren Ober from WAMU and NPR's The Big Listen saying that it sounds like your show is kind of grown up now, taking more risks. And what do you think about that? Is that your perception of what's going on with YOY right now?
I think it's a lot of people's dreams when a side hustle can become a full-time job. So after KCUR, I came over and I was running a music website, and I launched YOY as kind of a hobby side project for a community radio station. And the joy of that was that I had a weekly deadline. Every Wednesday at 6 o'clock, I went on air. And then every week, it was just the best thing I could come up with within that amount of time. So it was just evenings and weekends and kind of figuring out what my voice was, what kind of stories was I interested in telling, and how would I tell them. And now that this is my full-time job, of course the show's going to be better. I'm thinking about it all the time. I'm given amazing resources, the chance to hire a producer. So it's just a totally different thing now for me.
Is that trajectory, would you say, sort of the top of the mountain for a beginning podcaster who's, you know, probably where you were once, saying, okay, I've got a little time here and there. I've got some equipment somehow. I've got a friend who can do me a favor, and I'm just going to toss this thing together.
Yeah, I think that that's the best way to get started. I see a lot of new shows launch, and they think they've figured it all out, but you're not going to really know your show until you've done it for a while. So I kind of like the idea that I could start small and find that voice, because I'd never done my own show. I didn't know what kind of a show that would sound like until I started doing it. So my advice to new podcasters is always just start making the thing. Find a way to get yourself to start making the thing.
As you become kind of a, you know, like a full-time podcaster with your own full-time podcast, and of course you worked at a job with other podcasts, but it just was not your podcast, YOY. You worked with Mike Pesca, for example. But tell me, is there a downside to going pro?
Oh, that's such a great question. It's horrible in some ways, because with Mike, it was such a joy to follow his creative vision. And just kind of you say, I'm here, I'm reporting for duty. What do you want to do today? And he would arrive at work full of ideas. You know, he'd cover my desk with piles of newspaper clippings. And he's like, book this, book this, book this. And it was so fun to help someone else execute their dream. And now that it's supposed to be my dream, I come into work and my pockets are empty some days. You know, some days I'm still solving some essential problems with the show, and it's all on me, you know?
Oh, I know. I mean, I say that sarcastically. We have a really tight team here. But Andrea, we've heard that you're usually talking about other people's stories, particularly women in their 20s and 30s, and what goes on with them. First of all, what's your sense of what does go on with them?
Gosh, I just did a single lady focus group where I brought 14 women in New York and DC studios, and we just talked. We drank a ton of pizza, we drank a ton of beer, or we ate the pizza, we drank the beer, and we talked for 2 hours about our dating lives. And there was something that I learned about called double texting. Apparently, early on in dating, you're not supposed to send two text messages in a row, or else you might seem crazy. And that was the thing that was causing these women anxiety, that in my text exchange with a possible person who I'm considering a life and a future with, I can't send a second message without seeming weird.
But wait,
how is that a question that we have to ask?
Yeah, because also in texting etiquette these days, I feel like it's proper to send multiple short messages rather than one long message that takes up the whole screen for some reason. I don't really get that, but that's sort of the convention. So you have to go against the convention to not seem crazy?
Yeah, or it's a thing of if he didn't respond, do you send the, hey, did you get this? Because chances are he got this, and what you're about to hear is, I actually don't want to get together next Thursday. So it's all these ways that dating feels confusing because of the role of technology in it.
So talk to me about your own
situation. Oh, and one more way. Yeah, and one more way that it's very broken right now is that there just aren't enough guys with college degrees in some cities. That because of the way education's been working and just more women are going to college, I think that a lot of women are graduating and saying, I have my career together. I have a plan for a family. How is this not going to work for me? How have I not met him by now?
Because they're specifically looking for men with college degrees and not finding them.
Right. It's just a numbers thing. If I broke down the population of New York City, I haven't exactly done this yet, but I just don't think that there are. I think it's easier to be a guy here.
Weird. Okay. Well, your own situation on that note. I mean, we just heard about your breakup. I'm very sorry about it. In the most recent episode, you talk to like economics experts looking for wisdom that you can apply to your dating life. And I really loved that. And I wonder if you can just sort of encapsulate for our listeners some of the advice you gleaned on dating from the world of economics.
So something that a lot of single people might know is that people love to give you dating advice. And I hear it over Twitter from listeners. I hear it from friends and family members. You know, you're going to be sitting down to a holiday dinner this year, and maybe your Uncle Joe's going to say, you know, all the good ones are married by 30.
And it doesn't matter how well Joe's done in his own dating life, by the way.
Yeah. And Joe has been married to your Aunt Sheila since they met at NYU when they were 18. And it's just, it doesn't always translate. So, and often the people giving me dating advice are older or married, and they don't know the landscape of dating right now. So one of the pieces of advice I heard from my old friend and colleague, still friend, old colleague, Mike Pesca, was he was telling me that I'm just being overwhelmed by the decision that, you know, because of all the apps and these apps want you to stay on the apps, that I could swipe forever. Just, you know, one guy gets an 82, the next guy gets a 91 if I were to put it on a grading scale, and just always looking for the better guy.
And always looking for the 100.
Yes. And you might never find 100. So he felt that I was the paradox of choice, right?
Too many choices, you can't decide.
Yeah. And he compares it to an aisle in the grocery store where you have just, you know, 16 jams and then you're never going to pick the right jam. And we would be happier as a society if we had 3 jams. But apparently, according to my guest, Tim Harford, who is a financial journalist, he says that study has never been replicated and that the paradox of choice really isn't a phenomenon that we can explain, which makes sense. If you think about it, you go to Whole Foods and there are 16 jams and you're happy that there are 16 jams. And that's kind of what my dating life feels like. I feel like I don't need less choices. I actually need more.
And as you point out, the jam doesn't pick you back. So it's a little simpler.
Yes. Yeah. Human beings are complicated. We really can't always compare this to a jam situation.
So Andrea, can you tell us what the future is with your podcast, YOY? I mean, what your goals are, what's new coming up. There's some controversy that involves, the highest form of flattery.
Huh. What do you mean by the highest form of flattery?
Just when being sort of imitated as the highest form of flattery.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I think that the show's so me. I think that, you know, there could be other dating podcasts out there that are going to be paid for by the apps, and I'm not worried about that because this show is part personal journal at this point, and a lot of the ideas I'm thinking of for 2017 involve really taking advantage of that. I was thinking about dating in other cities. So the show feels very, I don't know, Carrie Bradshaw. I'm here in New York. I'm trying to find a guy and, oh, they're the worst. But what if I dated, you know, in Kansas City, Missouri? What if I dated in a state where marijuana has been legalized? What if I date in San Francisco where you have all these employees from all these tech companies and the ratio is supposed to be different between men and women? So I'm thinking about how can I mix business and pleasure and possibly take my dating life on the road next year.
Sounds good. Well, if you take it on the road to Kansas City, we'll be really excited to see you again.
Thanks. That's so nice to hear.
Andrea Salenzi of the podcast YOY, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's such a treat. I love the show.
Speaking of podcasts, this fall we brought you KCUR's latest podcast series, Question Quest, in which our reporters Suzanne Hogan and Cody Newell challenged each other to find out the answers to all sorts of mysteries. So to conclude today's audiophile show, we're going to bring you a little tease of what's coming next.
From KCUR Studios, I'm Suzanne Hogan.
And I'm Cody Newell.
And this is Question Quest.
We're setting out to find landmarks.
Oddities.
Legends.
All the curious things in the Midwest that make you wonder, what's up with that?
We'll put them in two decks of cards, shuffle them up,
and take turns each week sending each other on a quest to find out the answer.
So hello there, and welcome to a bonus episode of Question Quest.
A little something extra to keep all you rabid Question Quest fans at bay. So yeah, how's it been going, Cody?
Pretty good. How about you?
Pretty good. Pretty excited for this.
I am too. I'm really stoked to get into this.
So basically, this quest was submitted to us during the last season, and it didn't really fit with our production schedule at the time, so we just thought that we'd do it as something special.
There's a statue at like 52nd and Brookside, I think.
So that's my friend Flannery. She's the one that sent us the idea in the first place, but it was something a few of us had heard about in the newsroom, and we'd been curious about it kind of for a while.
There's a statue, but it's covered in gifted birds, like porcelain birds, plastic birds. She sometimes has, right now she has a lei on. She'll have a crown of flowers. Right now she also has some kind of yarn art on her wrist or something. And mostly birds, though. Lots of bird statues.
So the quest is to find out what's going on at this statue and why people are leaving these gifted birds there. But we're not going to reveal the answer right now, so sorry.
Yeah, it's going to come up tonight at the Buffalo Room. That's the room in the back of the Westport Flea Market. And we're going to share what we found out, and it'll be kind of like a Question Quest podcast episode only done live in a bar.
So we'll have beers in hand, and you can order burgers back there, and we'll tell you the full story, or at least as much as we were able to find out.
Yeah, we're excited to do that with you guys, like, in the flesh. As they say.
Oh,
I didn't mean for that to sound gross.
Sure you didn't.
But yeah, anyways, here's just a taste of what you're in for if you come out tonight.
I started going twice a week, and I didn't notice a ton of changes, except there would be these kind of spooky poltergeist things.
Maybe it's a chicken and the egg thing.
I imagine that there was some sad story behind it.
You don't want other people to see it who don't understand.
Yeah, I remember exactly.
Fold down both of the wings, or make the wings by folding down those two flaps.
Okay, so we'll leave it at that.
We'll see you tonight.
KCUR's Suzanne Hogan and Cody Newell will be live at the Buffalo Room tonight to solve the mystery of the bird statue on the trolley trail. Doors open at 6:30 and it starts at 7. The event is free, but you can RSVP at kcur.org/podcast party. And that's a wrap for today's show on KCUR Central Standard. Listen back, send it to your friends who are podcast listeners. I bet you'll get some good recommendations if you didn't already catch the whole thing today. Tomorrow, our portrait session series turns the lens on Nathan Lewis Jackson, playwright in residence at the KC Rep. KCUR's Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Andrea Tudhope, Jen Chen, and Suzanne Hogan. We had help with this morning's show from a lot of people, including intern Aaron Pelish. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date. That's next.